This evening we will be studying together the parable of the sheep versus the goat. We will begin reading from Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, all the way to verse 46. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 35. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? Verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Verse 44. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. Verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Amen. Now, my dearly beloved, this particular parable tells us of the work of the Holy Spirit that is required to be done by both the sheep and the goat. The work of the Holy Spirit requires the Holy Spirit to fill the sheep and, of course, the goat in order to be able to be performed individually. Now I will read from verse 31 again, and I will begin explaining verse by verse. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Now, my dearly beloved, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. There are many preachers that explain the goats for being unbelievers, and the sheep being the believers. However, the Holy Spirit has unveiled to my eyes that both the sheep and the goats are born again believers. For that reason, they are judged on the same throne of his glory. If the goats are unbelievers, then they would not, number one, be judged on the same throne with the sheep. Because the book of Revelation tells us the unbelievers will be judged in the great white throne, while the believers will be judged in the judgment seat of Christ. Now let me read to you 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, when the Apostle Paul tells us that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. My dearly beloved, the sheep can only do what is good in the sight of the Lord. That is why the sheep are called blessed of my Father, while the goats are the bad ones, you see, and the bad ones are called as ye cursed. Depart from me, verse 41. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now the goats are in actual fact the same thing as the third ground that I've mentioned the other day on the parable of the sower, as well as the one talent that hit his talent and not trade, as well as the five foolish virgins that did not buy the oil. Essentially, the parables are the same one. The only difference is in this particular verses, the Lord God was talking about the work of the Holy Spirit within the sheep versus the goat. Now also, the very fact that we know that the goats are born again believers, for that reason, our Lord expects the goat to perform what the sheep has performed. If the goats are unbelievers, there is no way it would not be a fair deal for the Lord God to expect the dead to do the work of the living, isn't it? Because the sheep are alive, and the sheep are the bread of Christ. So, what would the goat be? Well, the goat are born-again Christians, but they walk in their flesh, and it is also manifested in the parable of the sower as a third ground, as I mentioned earlier. So, the goats are not unbelievers. The goats are born-again believers. The only difference between the goats and the sheep is their fruitfulness. The sheep are the fourth ground. They are very fruitful. They receive abundant life. The goats are lack of fruitfulness, or they are unfruitful. And of course, the goats are not able to glorify God as they walk in their flesh. So for that reason, in the same throne, the shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. If you notice, the goats also call the Lord God as Lord. You see, if the goats are unbelievers, then they would not call the Lord God as Lord. And just like I said, it would not be fair to judge the sheep and the goat for the same amount of work if the goats are considered dead. And of course, the dead do not have the Holy Spirit and can never produce the work of the Holy Spirit, you see. For that reason, the sheep and the goats are all born-again believers. Like I said, the sheep are victorious in their lifestyle, and the sheep manifest and are able to glorify the Lord God through the life of victoriousness, while the goats falter in their flesh, and they refuse to trade, they refuse to buy oil, and of course, they're not able to bear the fruits because they refuse to let the Holy Spirit come in their heart and be the Lord of their lives. Let's read on. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So the sheep, in verse 34, are called as the blessed of my Father. And of course, we know the sheep are saved simply because the Word of God tells us that the sheep hear the voice of our Lord Jesus and they follow him to the finish line. You see, that's written in John 10. John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, these verses tell us that the sheep hear the voice of the Lord and follow Jesus. And of course, they're safe. They're once safe, forever safe. It is not because they walk in their flesh. No, rather, they live a life of victoriousness. They choose to follow Jesus to the finish line. They paid the price with their own life, or rather, they lay their life for Jesus. While the goats, on the other hand, walk in their flesh, they live a life of absolute self-centeredness versus Christ-centeredness. So as a result, if you look later on in the verse 41 to 46, we shall read together those verses and we will see what happened and why they are not making it into eternity. Now, the sheep inherit the kingdom prepared for them before the foundation of the world simply because the sheep are willing to lay down their life for Jesus. They're willing to crucify and deny themselves and, of course, take up the cross and then follow Christ. And so verse 35 says, For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now, verse 35 says, For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. When our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned all of these terms of being hungry and thirsty, obviously these are spiritual terms. These are not physical terms. In other words, our Lord Jesus tells the sheep, and the sheep says, "When did I feed you, Lord?" Well, Jesus said, "You fed me when you have done it to one of the least of my brethren." You see, whenever we labor for Jesus in the name of Jesus, and we have done it to one of the least of our brethren in Christ Jesus, we have done it unto our Lord. Now the sheep are filled by the presence of the Holy Spirit, and once you are filled by the presence of the Holy Spirit, you are required, as the sheep of the Lord, to do the work of the charity. So in verse 35, here it says, "For I was an hungered." You see, one of these days, the Holy Spirit will lead us to meet someone in Christ Jesus who are truly hungry and thirsting, wanting to know the truth of the words of God. And the Lord God will assign those in front of us to give us a chance to be able to labor in the name of Jesus. And when you meet a genuine believer who would like to know the truth, and you spend the time laboring in the name of Jesus, not charging them any money, you know. Many preachers out there, I was told, that in order to get into their website, you have to pay a certain amount of dollars. Now that is not laboring for Jesus. That is commercializing Jesus. Because our Lord instructed us, "Freely ye have received, freely give." It is our duty to feed the hungry and to give drink to those who are thirsty. We cannot charge them money. It is a sin to charge those in Christ Jesus who are hungry and thirsty money in the name of Jesus. That is not instructed in the scripture. The Lord God is the God of Jehovah Jireh, and the Lord God will provide our needs. We don't need to charge those in Christ Jesus money and making them like commercializing Jesus. That is not acceptable in the sight of the Lord God. It is not written in Matthew 25. And Jesus said, "For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink." And so those in Christ Jesus needing spiritual help, it is our duty as a servant of a living God to feed them and to offer them food, spiritual food, as well as spiritual water or living water of the Word of God. That is our duty, and that is expected for the sheep to labor upon. And of course, whatever we labor in the name of Jesus, we cannot go unrewarded. Our Lord God tells us if we give even a cup of water in the name of Jesus to these little ones, we cannot go unrewarded. You see, we must labor on the basis of absolutely loving the Lord God from our heart, with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul, and of course with all our strength. That is our duty. However, you must keep in mind, our motivation inside is not for money, is not for anything else, but rather for Jesus. The sheep are able to love Jesus simply because the Lord God loves us so much. Jesus Christ, our Lord, died on the cross, and he paid with his dear life in order to save us. It is only right for us as a sheep to lay down our life at all cost and to feed the hungry and thirsty. Now, in here, it does also mention that a stranger, ye took me in. It says, right, I was a stranger and ye took me in. The word stranger refers to people that have never heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is our duty to share the gospel of Jesus Christ as the Lord touch our heart. And whenever we go, or wherever we go, we must bring the gospel of Jesus Christ with us. Whether it is in the office where we work, or whether it is in the school, or on the street for that matter. Many times I personally would even give out the tracts to strangers on the street, the homeless people, and invite them to come to know Jesus. All of those are our duty and required by the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit guides us and touch our heart. Now, it is very important when we labor in the name of Jesus Christ that we ourselves must be sanctified with the truth of the Word of God. Do not go out to labor for Jesus when you are defiled spiritually. It would not allow the Holy Spirit, number one, to flow through your lips and your heart when you are defiled. And on the contrary, there are many, many people out there that are defiled, that have been hurt, as they labor, quote-unquote, in the name of Jesus. We have heard stories of some people having major accident as they go out trying to work for Jesus. Now, in that scenario, I can guarantee you they're defiled within their heart. They are not pure in their heart. They are not sanctified. It is very important that we must labor from a heart of absolute pure, absolute holiness. And when we have sinned, we must first confess our sins and wash them by the precious blood of Jesus before we are filled by the Holy Spirit and to labor in the name of Jesus. The verse 36, naked and ye clothed me. The word naked in the scripture means they are, of course, we know naked means without clothes. But naked in the book of Revelations, the word naked means no clothings. And let me read Revelation 16, verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So the word naked means they're not being watchful spiritually. They're not being alert. And obviously, they do not have the garments. Now, garments spiritually refers to the righteousness of the saints. Let me read the meaning of garments. In Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8, I shall read it for you, that one day we must put on our garments. And this garments is made of fine linen, and we must, as the bride of Christ, come together with the bridegroom to enter into the marriage of the Lamb. For that reason, we must wear the garment that is spotless and that is made of white, clean, fine linen. Let me read verse 19, 7 and 8 for you. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So someone that is naked is someone that is void of garments, which means someone that is void of righteousness of the saints. And what is the meaning of the righteousness of the saint? The Amplified Bible explains the righteousness as the upright, just, and godly living, deeds and conduct, and right standing with God. Let me repeat. The righteousness of the saint is defined as the upright, just, and godly living, deeds, and conduct, and right standing with God. In other words, a saint must constantly put on the acts of the righteousness of the saint. In other words, the saint must live a life of absolutely upright, just, and godly. And of course, our conduct and our relationship with God must be in the right standing. In order to achieve that, we can only allow the Holy Spirit to take control of our heart. We can never walk in our flesh. If we walk in our flesh, then we are not able to perform the righteousness of the saint, because there is nothing good in the flesh anyway. So the sheep are able to do the work of the Holy Spirit simply because as the Holy Spirit fills their hearts, as they are willing to obey and love the Lord God by keeping His commandment and denying themselves and crucifying themselves upon the cross, their flesh, and walk in the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit will fill their heart. And as the Holy Spirit will guide them into the work of the Holy Spirit, which is the work of charity. And one of these days, you and I are going to meet someone that is naked, someone that is destitute of truth, or short of truth, or don't know what is right. And of course, they falter in terms of sins. And at that point of time, it is our duty to clothe them, to remind them out of charity and say, you know, brother, or you know, sister, let me tell you what the Bible says. I don't think you're doing the right thing. You see, it is our duty to clothe them, to remind them according to the words of the scripture. Of course, we remind them out of the charity, out of an attitude of humility and out of charity from our heart, not out of the attitude of pridefulness or acting like a Pharisee, you see. The Apostle Paul tells us that we must speak in gentleness because we ourselves, one of these days, if we're not cautious, we would be naked as well, right? So for that reason, we must bear them and remind them the word of truth. Now let me ask you a question. Do you do that to your spouse and your children? You need to clothe them with righteousness, with the word of God. It is very important as a mother that we clothe our children according to the truth of the word of God, as well as our spouse, to remind them, you see, as well as our family members, wherever the Lord leads you to go. If you're in the church, then if you see your sisters who are struggling spiritually, then and they have fallen into nakedness, then it is our duty to remind them out of our charity and pray for them. And of course, verbally tell them, you know, this is not what the word of God says. You see, we must approach them as the Holy Spirit leads us and touch our heart to pray for them and out of charity and humility and of course, with patience to let them know the truth of the word of God. That's exactly what the sheep did. Now the next word is, I was sick and ye visited me. There are many, many Christians today, even though they are born again of the Spirit of God, they are sick spiritually. They are not able to have the strength to carry out the Word of God. And in that scenario, we do need to pray with them, help them to either remind them of their sins and confess their sins. And of course, if you're a servant of the living God, you must also pray with them and visit them and help them to be able to be healed through the Word of God. You see, the Lord God heals, for example, our Lord Jesus heals and spit from his saliva and make a clay from his saliva and then touch the eyes of the blind. That means spiritually, the word of God is the I self. And in the book of Revelations, the Laodiceans, they are blind, they need the I self. And so, the I self refers to the word of God. The word of God itself is a light and is a healer. It heals us of our spiritual illnesses. When we read the word of God, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will begin to shine deep in our heart the sins that we have committed for that day or yesterday or the past. And so our eyes all of a sudden, as we confess our sins by the precious blood of Jesus, it will be healed all of a sudden. And it takes the Holy Spirit as the light together with the Word of God to heal us spiritually. I was in prison and ye came unto me. There are many, many born-again believers, genuine believers that have fallen into the trap of Satan. And we must remind them. We must help them. Hey, you know what? You have fallen into the trap of Satan. You've been in chain. There are many, many sins that have resulted many born-again believers to be unable to journey the narrow path of the cross. And they're chained by Satan. They're imprisoned. And there are many, many kinds of sins. It could vary from pornography. And I've counseled a young pastor who could not come out from pornography. And of course, someone that is very closely related to me also could not overcome pornography. And I have to counsel and pray and help him to confess his sins and grow in the spirit before he finally overcame and set free from the imprisonment of the sin of the spirit of fornication. So there are many, many kinds of sins that God's children have got themselves entangled into. And of course, Satan would use that against them to prevent them from growing in the spirit and to prevent them from journeying further on along the path of the cross. So it is one of our duty, our responsibility as a servant of the Lord, of course, as the sheep, to visit them when they're being imprisoned. Verse 37, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. My dearly beloved, all of these are the work of the Holy Spirit, which is called the work of charity. Once we are born again of the Spirit of God, we must obey the voice of the Lord, which is the voice of the Holy Spirit, together with the Word of God. We must act out according to the Word of God. And obviously, as we grow in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit began to instruct us to witness for Jesus. So when we witness for Jesus, we are actually inviting the stranger to come to know Jesus, isn't it? We're inviting someone. I remember vividly years ago when I first became a born-again Christian, my heart was filled with absolute zeal for Jesus. I was just burning in my heart. And every time I go to school, every so often, I would talk to a girl, a schoolmate, whether it's a young man or a young lady, and begin to share the truth with them. And I've shared quite a few. And praise God, one day I found my best friend by bringing her to Christ. And I've been praying for her. At first she was not willing. But ultimately, when I brought her to Christ and brought her to my pastor, she helped to pray with her and she began to weep. And that was the day that she was born again of the Spirit of God. And from that time onwards, both myself and her became a very close spiritual partners. We prayed together and we witnessed for Jesus together. You see, it is our duty to invite strangers and then become, of course, one family. We are in Christ. And once we are in Christ Jesus, then of course, then we share and help others who are hungry spiritually, thirsty, and of course, if they are destitute of righteousness, which means they are naked, then we clothe them with the word of righteousness. And if they are ill spiritually, then we do need to visit them and pray with them and set them free from the power of darkness. All of those things are orchestrated when we obey the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit fills our heart. Now, in verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee anhungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. Now, my dearly beloved, the goat is right the opposite of the sheep. Just like I mentioned, the goats are born again Christians. However, because they do not obey the Holy Spirit, they continue to walk in their flesh. As a result, the Holy Spirit are not able to orchestrate the work of the Lord God before them. And so, when the Holy Spirit are not able to fill their heart, then of course they don't have the strength to even take care of their own spiritual problem, let alone take care of somebody else, isn't it? It is crystal clear that when we do not obey the Holy Spirit and refuse to act out the Word of God and refuse to deny ourselves and crucify or take up the cross and crucify our flesh, and obviously we would not be able to follow Jesus. Now, following Jesus is exactly what this work of the Lord entails. You see, apart from bearing the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, the Lord God, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, also commanded us to share the gospel in the world, and of course, to do the work of the sheep, as written in this chapter, of feeding those who are in the need, spiritually. But the goat, because the goat refused to walk in the Spirit and unable to journey the path of the cross, they themselves are spiritually sick. You see, when you walk in your flesh and continue to walk in your flesh, even though you are born again of the Spirit of God, you are not able to journey the path of the cross. You don't have the strength to be able to accomplish the work of the Lord. You don't have the strength to be able to overcome sin in itself. So instead of setting somebody else free from being in prison, you yourself become in prison. That's what happened to the goat. You see, and there are many, many born-again Christians that led a life of absolute failure. In other words, quote-unquote failure in the sight of God. They themselves are naked. They themselves are spiritually sick. They themselves are in prison. How can they help others when they themselves are sick, isn't it? You see, for that reason, it is crucial. It is very important for God's children to walk in the Spirit and begin to crucify themselves. You see, and the Apostle Paul reminds us to walk in the Spirit so that we do not walk according to our flesh. And if you refuse to deal with your flesh and keep on walking like the worldly people do and refuse to separate unto godliness, refuse to spend time coming before the Word of God and acting out upon His commandments, then you run a danger to be the goat. I'm afraid you will experience before long, in the short term, if you falter in your flesh, you probably can get away with it, but you will experience there's no growth, spiritual growth at all. You see, and just like the third ground, the goat are so filled in their mind with the cares of this world, with the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, and the pleasures of this world. They are so overwhelmed with these things, to the point that they choke out the Word of God. Now, if they're going to be choked out with the Word of God, where do they have the strength to be able to feed others, to be able to set free others who are in prison, when they themselves are in prison and being captured by the power of darkness. See, that's exactly what happened to the goat. And of course, as a result, not only they are not able to bear the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, obviously, they would not be able to do what the Holy Spirit through their body are supposed to do, which is the work of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ out of charity, and of course, able to help the body of Christ and glorify God by setting others free from the power of darkness. So it is very important for us to continue walking in obedience to the Holy Spirit. And as a result, verse 46 says, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Now, it is a tragedy for the goat, even though they are born again, that they cannot make it into eternity. Well, let me read you in the book of Revelation what the Lord says to those who do not overcome. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." My dearly beloved, a lot of preachers preach a gospel of watered down or discounted gospel, I call it, because they want to reassure you that, you see, once you believe in Jesus, you can get in heaven. It doesn't matter how you live your life. You could walk in disobedience. You could walk in your flesh. That's all right. You can watch movie. You can be drunk. You can be smoking, drinking. You'll get in heaven. That's absolute lie of Satan. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not the gospel of the narrow path of the cross. It is the broad way. And there is no way one can get into the kingdom of heaven by contradicting the word of God. The true gospel of Jesus Christ is the path of narrow way. It is the path of the cross that is so narrow and so contracted with so much pressure that many, many Christians, if they are spiritually drunken in their flesh, if they decided to walk in their flesh, they are not even going to be able to make it. I'm sorry to tell you this, because you know why? I cannot discount the word of God and make it diluted so that you can get in the kingdom of heaven however you want to live your life with. That is an absolute lie of Satan. The Lord expects us, each and every one of us, to be victorious. If you read through the seven churches, every one of the churches, the Lord commanded at the end of it, it says, "Be victorious, he that overcometh," every one of them. So the true gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of victoriousness. It's not just a watered-down gospel, just get baptized, go to sit in the church. You don't have to repent of your sins, and you don't have to transform, and you'll get in heaven. That is not true at all. That's a lie of Satan. But sad to say, many, many churches, or preachers for that matter, did not preach the truth and the path, the narrow path of the cross. They reassure you by saying you come to church and you'll get in the kingdom of heaven. That is an absolute lie, my dearly beloved. Like just I read again, I will read Revelation 3:5 for you to listen very carefully. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." You see, this particular verse is directly talking to the goats, because unbelievers won't even count. In here, the issue is not that the name was not written in the Lamb Book of Life. It was already written there. The problem is it's blot out. What do you mean by blot out? Means remove, means delete. That's what it meant. And I will blot out his name out of the book of life. So the goat's name was already written inside. The question is, he does not overcome. So what did the Lord do? On the judgment seat of Christ, this is what happened with the between the sheep and the goat when they meet the Lord face to face and give account. I'm afraid Revelation 3:5 is going to happen. I'm afraid the Lord says, he that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name of the book of life. That applies to the sheep. But confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Let's do the other way around. He that does not overcome, the same will not be clothed in white raiment, of course. They are found destitute and naked. And I will blot out his name. How about that? You see? So, the word in Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh will be clothed in white raiment, of course, and will not be blotted out. It's just common sense. Vice versa, if you do not overcome, unfortunately, like it or not, you'll be blotted out. That's not my word. Read for yourself, Revelation 3:5. Now, Revelation 2:11 says the same thing. Listen to this. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. In other words, if you reverse that, he that does not overcome will be hurt in the second death. Right? Let me repeat. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. You see, a lot of churches are not preaching the truth. They're covering your eyes, and that is what Satan does with the false gospel. But the true gospel is very narrow. And Revelation 21, 7 and 8 says the same thing. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful means no faith. The unbelieving, those that doubted, and the abominable, and murderers, and warmongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. My dearly beloved, if you are born again Christians, are you filled with faith or are you filled with fear? Be very honest with me. There are many, many born again Christians who worries every single day about their finances, about their health, about their kids, about everything and anything and everything. Now, that's not having faith. That's being fearful. You see, the Word of God says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and so on shall all have their part in the lake of fire. That is not funny at all. It doesn't matter whether you're born again. If you're born again and live a life exactly like the unbelievers, then there's no point of being born again, isn't it? You see, you still continue to live a life of disobedience to the Holy Spirit. And in the sight of God, that is not acceptable, because that means you have not lived a life of victoriousness in Christ Jesus. You did not overcome, you see. For that reason, my dearly beloved, I pray that if you manifest in your heart fear, and of course, if you're imprisoned by many kinds of sins, may I petition for you to repent. To repent first before the sight of the Lord God and say, Lord, I am so sorry. I didn't know. Perhaps you were not told in the past. Perhaps your church had never told you that even though you're born again, you're still leading and living a life of absolute disobedience and failure in the sight of Jesus, because you did not walk in the Spirit. It is very important for God's children to walk in the Spirit. It is very important, no matter what positions you are in the church, you could be the elder, you could be preacher, the pastor, it is still very important for us to act out the Word of God. We must walk like the sheep walk and not like the goats. Now, I want to share with you one real story of a sister in Christ, whom I brought years ago when I was in school. This is a real testimony, a real story. She was a very simple girl, young girl at that point of time, and she does not look like somebody who is very bright. So one day as I was crossing through in the campus, in the University of San Francisco, she was a schoolmate. But this sister, at that point of time, was not a believer. And she was a very simple, in terms of character, a very simple girl, literally so simple to the point that in my heart, when the Holy Spirit told me, as I walked through that room and saw her in the room, the Holy Spirit says, go to her and tell her about the gospel of Jesus Christ and tell her to come to the Bible study. And I thought to myself in my heart, Lord, this girl is so simple. I don't think she's going to even understand the gospel. I don't think she's going to come to Christ. She's way too simple. You know what I mean? So I negated the voice of the Holy Spirit by arguing in my heart, I don't think she'll come to Christ. My dearly beloved, that's our flesh, isn't it? And of course, I was wrong. So I obeyed the voice of the Holy Spirit and invited her to come for the Bible study. Little did I know that this stranger that I have invited to come to know Jesus was actually a sheep chosen by the Lord. She was so simple in terms of her character and her attitude towards the Lord God, so simple like a little child. She believed the Lord God instantly. Not only she was born again of the Spirit of God, she brought her whole family to Christ Jesus. Can you believe this? Actually, I was kind of shocked to discover that this girl could be used by the Lord God to bring her mother, her dad, and all her siblings to Christ Jesus. So later on, she got married and we part, of course. She graduated and I graduated. However, a few years later, she came back with her husband and somehow the Lord brought them back as a family to me. So she got married and she had a child, a baby, a toddler rather. And so for whatever reason, the Lord orchestrated in such a way that I advised them to come back to where I live, in the city where I live. So they moved up from another city and, of course, drove a few hours to come to where I live. Little did I know that there was work for me to labor upon. It's the work of the charity again, mentioned in Matthew 25. So as they came to meet me, the voice of the Lord in my heart says, you know what? You've got work to do here, the work of the sheep to do. The voice of the Lord God was crystal clear. But I didn't know what kind of work it was and what kind of problem they had until probably a month or two later. And one day when I was about to go to my office to have a special meeting, it was an important meeting, and I was about to rush out from the door to go out to that meeting. At that point of time, I was still in business. I was not a full-time preacher. But as I was about to leave to my office, the doorbell rang, and guess who it was? It was this friend, the sister in Christ, with her baby crying and knocking at that door. And as I opened the door, I was shocked to discover her weeping in tears. And so I was so shocked and told her, look, you know, I am in the hurry to have a meeting in my office, but what's going on here? Then she explained to me that she has been physically punched in her head and she had to flee from domestic violence by her husband. And so I told her to wait there. Incidentally, her husband was a pastor of a church. He is a full-time minister, and he graduated from a seminary out of Florida. And for some reason, he worked as a pastor, and they had to make him resign from the position. So later on that day, when I came back from the office, I told her, look, tell me what's going on. She was so upset with her husband. She said she would not return to her husband. Literally, she would like to divorce her husband, you see. But I told her, look, this is not a solution. And of course, in Christ Jesus, we don't just divorce our spouse like that. That is not acceptable. We must pray about it and let's talk about it. At that point of time, she told me that her husband, who was the pastor, supposedly, physically punched her frequently. My dearly beloved, this is a real story. A pastor is not an unbeliever, you know. An unbeliever, we can understand, if a man get drunk, they beat up the wife, but the pastor should know the truth. And this particular pastor was born again of the Spirit of God. He's got all the informations of the scripture since he goes to school, right? But he did not practice what the Lord have instructed. So he acted out as a goat at that point of time. And so he began to do some immoral stuff, like watching some things that should not be watched. That's what this sister told me. So my husband at that time was feeling as if the case is impossible because the guy looked such like a bad person. But I told my husband, you know, with men it is not possible, but with God all things are possible. So my dearly beloved, what looked like a pastor on the outside is not necessarily a genuine shepherd within one's heart, isn't it? But the Lord God sees through that and brought them before me. So at that point of time, I called her husband over the phone and husband began to accuse her. And obviously I reprimanded the husband, telling him that he needs to repent out of his pride and not to do physical abuse. That's a sin before the sight of the Lord God. But praise God. God who always hears our prayer when we walk in absolute obedience, isn't it? Just like our Lord says, if you abide in me and my word stays in your heart, ask what ye will, it shall be done unto you. So at that point of time, I had the faith that the Lord will restore this issue and bring them back as a family. And so I prayed to the Lord God to resolve and open the door. And finally, the sister in Christ with a baby was willing to return to the husband. And as I walked her back and to meet the husband, then the husband apologized and told me the real story behind. This man was a born-again Christian, and of course, because he also worked as a pastor. But when he faltered in his flesh, when he graduated from the seminaries, for some reason, he walked in his flesh and refused to obey the Holy Spirit, he fell into depression. You see, this is exactly what happened when the Holy Spirit, when you sin and refuse to repent, and continue to sin and then refuse to repent, the Holy Spirit will be quenched. It will be grief and then quenched. As the Holy Spirit leaves his body, he becomes disconnected spiritually and the power of darkness gets in his heart. And of course, he experienced depression. Okay? And he attempted suicide a couple of times. He was contemplating on it, of course. And he didn't know where to turn and who to turn because he was a pastor, you know? It's just embarrassing, isn't it? If you are not a Christian, it's one thing, right? You look for a pastor. But now you're a pastor, who do you look? Right? Look up to, correct? So nonetheless, God knew of his struggle, so he was disconnected spiritually. And of course, his life was a mess. And of course, he beat up his wife, right? And it took that day when they had a brawl and the wife left him to come to meet me. That day, and as I cried to God to solve this issue, that the Lord God began to work in his heart. And he told me that very night, he said he cried to God for mercy because he was disconnected. As he cried and repented of his sins, the word of God in Hebrew became alive. And he was made rectified spiritually, and the Holy Spirit returned into his heart as he cried and wept before the Lord. That was the same time that I was praying to God to get a way out of this whole issue and cast out the power of darkness, of course. And I knew God will always answer because God is always faithful to his children. So praise God, he shared with me how he repented, and the Holy Spirit was restored in his heart as he wept over his sins. And so the whole family was restored in the sight of the Lord God. My dearly beloved, there are many, many people out there, even those in the leadership role in the churches today, in the name of the pastor or leaders or deacons or elders or whatnot, they are living a life of a goat instead of a sheep. And many times they have no idea who to turn to because they think, of course, they cannot tell the sheep. It is embarrassing or not wise, rather, right? Because they themselves are the preachers. But the truth of the matter is, it is very sad. And I pray if you're one of them, that you would repent. Because God is a God of truth. And God sees through, deep down, right into our heart. And if you're one of them that is going through what I've just mentioned, may I pray that you repent of your sins. But our Heavenly Father is extremely merciful. As we repent and cry to God with genuineness from our heart, then God will send the Holy Spirit back in our heart as we confess those sins and repent of it, and by the precious blood of Jesus, made us holy and rectify again our position of His children. Now, my dearly beloved, it is time to part once again. May the Lord richly bless you with His own words of truth today. May you choose to walk the path of the cross, the narrow way. May you uplift the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your daily living as your Lord, walking in the Spirit rather than the flesh. May you fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life, and imprinting deep down in your heart, living a life of victoriousness for our Savior. In Jesus' most precious and wonderful name, I ask and pray for. Amen.